Good morning. 8:32 a.m., October the 8th, 2014, a Wednesday morning. 8:33 now. It's later than I've been going out. The daughter is still sick, but I overslept. So I didn't take her to school, and I wasn't really ready to walk at 7 o'clock. So, yeah, I'm a little late. Later. I'm still walking. I almost didn't walk. I almost said, nah, hell with it. But, I need to walk. I need the exercise. I need to get body moving, the blood flowing. And I guess I need to talk about ADD, or ADHD, I guess is the current parlance. My therapist recommended a book that, luckily enough, was not $25 on Kindle. It was not $25 in paperback, and actually was available in Kindle for less than $10, so I squaffed up a copy and started reading it last night. So yeah, a lot of things resonated. Some things didn't resonate, and I'm wondering. I'm looking at the things. There's apparently a rage response, and I tend not to have a rage response, or if I do, I don't recognize it as rage, which is entirely possible. I could be burning that down. There is a certain level of frustration, and it can blossom almost immediately. One of the things that resonated most vibrantly was the frustration response with, it's just so obvious, why don't people do this? And that is, I'm sure a lot of people have that response on a variety of circumstances. And it's one of those diagnostic tools that they use, along with high distractibility. The fact that I can't go from the garage to the kitchen and get a cup of coffee and something to eat and get back to my desk without forgetting that I've got a podcast that needs to be posted. But sort of underscore the reality that I am highly distractible. And it's the fact that we've got actually mechanisms in place for you all to remind me to make the post, like yesterday, means that it's common enough, it's frequent enough, it's often enough, that this isn't a once-in-a-while kind of thing. It's a regular occurrence. Charlie may be right. It may not be squirrels. It may be ferrets. But, yeah. A lot of ideas and not a lot of follow-through. That's sort of been my life. I kind of want to deny it, but the reality is there. It's not like it's been no follow-through. I've had the opportunity to do some really amazing things, some remarkable things. 10 books is pretty remarkable. Creating mechanisms in Second Life to make the environment accessible to people who can't see it. For a three-dimensional environment, that's pretty big. Because in a three-dimensional environment, you sort of have to see it. Or you really need a lot of support in order to get around when you don't know where you're supposed to click. Or you don't know what kind of place to put your pointer. Good morning.
Good morning.
Looks like a couple handfuls.
Yeah.
guy with a leash in each hand and a rather active schnauzer on the end of each. Yikes. So, yeah, I do have strategies for coping, and for the most part, they've worked pretty well. And lately, they're falling apart. I'm not getting anything done. The beginning of the year where I had such high hopes. And the more I don't get done, the more down I get on myself, which turns out also to be one of the symptoms. And it's also quite frequently goes along with the two conditions that I generally exhibit. One is gifted and talented, and the other is depressed. And there's a chicken and the egg thing with depression and ADD, because ADD is kind of a gateway drug to depression. Now, this is the first time in years of therapy with this therapist, and in years of therapy with therapists down the road, it's the first time anybody's ever suggested ADD. I think part of it is that I'm at the point where my ADD is no longer being rewarded. I'm not in a job that rewards multitasking anymore. I'm not having to deal with 7,000 interruptions in a day and to deal with each of them and move on to the next interruption. But even when I was in that environment, extended periods of concentrated work were a problem. It took me years to get my dissertation put together, in large part because it would sit on the desk and I would look at it and then I would go find something else to do, like mow the lawn or something. Which turns out to be another symptom. So the book is Driven to Distraction by a man named Halliwell, and it's really quite good. I'm actually enjoying the read as much as I'm horrified by what I'm reading. And yeah, that's the right word. I'm quite horrified. So it turns out my elder daughter, who was recently diagnosed with ADD, comes by it honestly. She's apparently got it from me. Well, I'm not convinced my wife doesn't have it, although in her defense, she's a much more organized person than I am. Massively organized. I need to have a little clutter or I'm not actually comfortable. It's one of the things we talk about regularly, because there's a built-in conflict, which, now that I think of it, I might actually use in one of my books. I'm not sure which book, but one of them. But the reality is that I have to have a certain amount of clutter in order to feel comfortable, in order to relax. It has to be stuff around. And for her, there has to be no clutter for her to be relaxed. And the level of clutter that's acceptable to her is unacceptable to me. So the way we've really approached this is that I have areas like my desk which are cluttered and which make me comfortable, so I spend a lot of time there. And we have areas in the house where she makes it clean in ways that make her comfortable. Oddly, her desk is often cluttered as well, but it's cluttered temporarily and then she cleans it off. I'm still toying with the idea, because I won't argue that there is a certain sense of peace that comes from a clean desk. I can't find anything, but generally speaking, most of the stuff I'm looking for is either in my pocket, because I can't remember where I put it down, or it's right on top. So I'm toying with the idea of getting one of those Tupperware tubs, just scraping everything off my desk that's not connected to a computer, and then putting it in this tub and latching the tub down. And I've got a space beside my desk where I could put it. So if there's something that I want, It'll probably be in the tub. I can open the tub and take it out again. So I might do that. One of the things, walking, by the way, exercise is one of the treatments for ADD. The movement is soothing, and I can't argue that. For all that I've been walking along and losing the beam while talking to you, it's much more common that I get on a topic and see it through to the end of the walk. It triggers new connections, but they tend to all be generally related. So, yeah, to-do lists, calendars, monk post, structured schedules. All these things are part of a treatment plan. And I haven't figured out what that looks like in detail yet, but they've been mentioned in passing. And they're all things that I have discovered over the last year or so that work very well for me. If I would program my phone again, which I haven't done, if I would program my phone again to my daily schedule, or if I were to go onto Google Calendar and create a repeating schedule that had slots in it for things like take a shower, clean clothes day, one of the problems is that I don't have an external structure imposed on me, so you know, I'll get up in the morning and put on the same clothes I had on yesterday. Because they're there, they're comfy. I'm not that dirty, I don't, with some exception of some few chores that make me get down and crawl in the dirt. There's not a lot of external sign of dirtage. But they do, my jeans have a tendency to stand on their own after a couple of days, and it doesn't register with me at all. It's just below the level of distraction, is just below the level of attention. So designating a couple days a week as clean clothes days would probably help. Scheduling an hour for routine hygiene might be appropriate. At noon I'm going to brush my teeth and shave and maybe take a shower and put on fresh clothes. I don't know. I don't know how that works. I don't know what that means. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know how that would fly. Having a schedule that I could keep would be advantageous. So the other thing on my mind is the talking about my morning walk. There's been an ongoing, somebody asked a question about the efficacy of Twitter versus G+, and I've expounded on that plenty of times. And I offered an opinion, and John Ward said that I really used Twitter well. And the original poster went and looked at my Twitter stream and said, well, really? All he ever posts is this photograph. And it's always the same thing, and it's got a weather report. How does that work? And so I explained that it was the first word in the podcast. It was the clue for all of you to remind me, in case I forget, to post the audio. And another member of the community weighed in and said, well, you really need to put links on this. This is an argument that I hear all the time. You really need to put some kind of explanatory information on that image, because you're missing the opportunity to connect with potential readers. And it's like, yeah, but it's not the goal. That's not the purpose. I have other places and other things that I do to connect with potential readers, and that photograph isn't one of them. The photograph is actually a rabbit hole. The photograph is for potential readers who are curious enough about me and what I do to actually look it up, or at least ask. Yesterday somebody asked, where is this audio? What audio? So just, it's a prompt. And if you're not engaged enough, this goes back to the difference between interaction and engagement. And I really don't want audience members simply for interaction. I want them engaged, like all of you guys. So the picture is a rabbit hole, and I'm perfectly willing to have it remain a rabbit hole. In fact, it serves my purpose best as a rabbit hole in terms of its relationship to new readers or potential audience members. But as a first word, as a notice to my fan community, it works exactly the way it's planned. And I have no desire to change it and potentially screw it up. The thing I don't seem to get is that, well, I think I mentioned this yesterday, yes is conditional, but no is forever in social media. So once you get blocked, once you get unfollowed, once you get your messages, all of your messages chopped off, there's no opportunity to find a reader or to find that reader. That's the thing. See, I'm not willing to run the risk of alienating a potential reader. And there's nothing alienating about this odd photograph. It doesn't happen often enough that people consider it to be cluttering up their time stream. I don't have enough of them on any given day to make more than a hiccup, and only in a particular time zone. And there are no obvious promotional aspects to it. There are no links. There are no, the new podcast is up. There are no, there is nothing. It says the new podcast is coming. But that's as far as it goes. I mean, it by itself. So we had this long discussion, and one of the problems was that the commenter said, well, what makes you think I'm not in your audience? And my response was, because you don't know the secret handshake. And she took great umbrage with that. And it's like, well, you know, like, lady, in the post just before, you said you're not in my audience. So what makes me think you're not in my audience? You told me you're not in my audience. I wonder what she meant. Was it she might be, but that she wasn't engaged enough or hooked enough by simply seeing this odd photograph every day to follow through and find out. And that because of that, because she's not engaged enough to even ask the question, what the hell is this, that I should make a change to the way I do business. It's like, no, not really. I'm sorry. I don't mean to alienate anyone. It's not my intention to alienate anyone. In fact, it's exactly the opposite. And I would find that a bit objectionable. But then there are people who are going, seriously? Eduardo asks, well, okay, if that's not intended to increase your readership, then why? What do you do? How does that work? Because do I have an audience that's already so big you don't care anymore, or what? And so I have to point out that I've got lots of tools to bring in new readers, and the key one is word of mouth. The key one is what happens when somebody talks about space opera. The key one is when somebody talks about needing a new audiobook, or the key one happens when somebody is looking for something different to read, or something new to read. And one of you all, maybe not even a listener to this podcast, but a fan, says, oh, well, if you haven't heard Nathan Lowell stuff, if you haven't read Nathan Lowell stuff, you really need to go read Nathan Lowell stuff. Okay, that has so much more value than the potential for maybe, perhaps, attracting a new listener to this podcast by putting a link or an explanatory message on the photograph. It's so much more valuable. I don't understand how this is an odd concept. And then there's party books. And then there's the fact that I do try to engage with readers one-on-one. Or at least in small group, which is what all of you are. So yeah, it was a rather, I wrote a rather lot yesterday in marketing, but I didn't actually get any of my fiction any closer to being published. And now today I'm thinking, ADD. Terrific. But anyway, I am at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.